This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The show continues. President Cyril Ramaphosa's cabinet has approved the constitutional 18th Amendment Bill for public comment, which will give recognition to South African Sign Language as the 12th official language of the country. We speak now to the National Director of DFSA, Bruno Drucken, and he can, and Bruno, you'll have to correct me on that, if that's the right pronunciation or not, who will be interpreted by Francois Daisel, who is a sign language interpreter. And we are also joined by Winner Ntsungu, who is the director of Nosuvo Learning Academy that specializes in the performance of the everyday communicative tasks using South African Sign Language, basic and advanced sign language, interpreting, communication studies and language, to speak to us about what this means to the deaf community and speak to what the academy's mandate is to advance the sign language. Well, I'm in conversation with Francois Daisel right now. Francois?
Hi. Hi. Good evening to all the listeners and good evening to you. Just to correct, you're not in discussion with Francois. Francois, just my voice.
Yes. No. Obviously, Francois, this was something I was going to come through to the technicalities. So you're going to be the voice, right, Francois? Francois?
Yes,
you're going to be the voice, and the conversation's going to be with Bruno, right?
Yes, Bruno's voice, and Bruno's currently on Zoom.
Right.
And I've got my phone, so that's why I'm interpreting.
Okay. So that's it. Francois, let's understand whether... Bruno... Just give me Bruno's proper pronunciation of the surname, firstly.
Bruno Drucken.
Drucken, so it's Drucken, right? I got it right.
Sure.
So, if you would, welcome Bruno to the conversation. It is Power 98.7. It is Power Perspective. And my name then, of course, is Denzel Taylor. So welcome, Bruno, to the conversation. The first question I have, Bruno, is it's been a long time coming because obviously it has been mooted as an official language for a number of years already, with a parliamentary committee proposing the adoption actually in 2020, if I'm not correct.
Good evening, Denzel. This is Bruno speaking.
Right.
You are correct. This is coming... this is really a very long and tedious process. DFSA submitted its first submission in 2007 through a constitutional amendment, and then again in 2013, 2015, and then the process started to work. All provinces in South Africa marched on the 1st of September in 2016, and then a petition was also given over to the Parliament.
Mm.
About 30,000 people signed the petition, and the committee then approved the report to be submitted to the National Assembly and NCLP. They approved it in November 2017.
Mm.
And then it was referred to the Department of Justice and the Justice Committee. And that's within the process that's been taken forward in 2020. It was then approved by the Justice Committee that the bill be drafted, and that is what we have today. And the news that was announced that the cabinet approved that the bill needs to be drafted. And here the Department of Justice will give notice of that bill. A really long process, but worthwhile waiting for.
Why has the process actually been so long? What have the hiccups been?
It was, I think it was really to get people's heads around it, that South African Sign Language is a language. There was a misconception that there's different sign languages in South Africa, like Xhosa sign language, Zulu sign language, Afrikaans sign language. But that misconception wasn't clarified. We are not in apartheid anymore. South African sign language is one language that's used by the deaf community. And that had to be clarified, and people need to get their heads around it and just to understand really what South African sign language is. And that had very long meetings and processes that had to follow. But yeah, it's if you look back at it, you need to understand that it's I would really appreciate that when Parliament approves it, that amendment in the Constitution, that everybody really understood what they're approving. So for me, as the director of Deaf for the voice of the Deaf community, that's important that everybody has the awareness and that there's no more misconceptions.
So what does the announcement today mean to the deaf community in South Africa? Is it something that's really, really, you know, an important development? Is it as huge as it sounds that, you know, there will be a 12th official language in this country, and this is it? Are we now in, not even in the negotiation phase, in the discussion phase anymore? Do you understand it as this now basically incorporates, you know, the language into the formal languages, the 11 formal languages that South Africa does have formally? So is this the process now, the final process? Do we at this point accept that there will be 12 official languages in this country, and one of them will be that for the deaf community? Is that what we interpret from what was mentioned today?
Yes. If I can, we are really in a tunnel. We were in a tunnel for how many years? 20 years odd. And there's light in the tunnel, and we're on the train, and we're facing the light, and there's no train coming for us, towards us. So this is, because the Constitution cannot be amended if there's not a bill that addresses the amendment. So that's why, and Section 6 that you just spoke about.
Yes, the Constitutional 18th Amendment Bill for public comment.
Yeah. And then Section 6 of the Constitution is where all the languages are mentioned.
Yes.
So there has to be a bill that speaks to that, so African sign language can be added as the 12th official language.
Let me just involve Winner. Winner, welcome to the conversation, Winner.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Well, thank you very much, and good evening to you, and thank you very much for hosting me to air my views and also to express my feelings regarding the issues of sign language being recognized as a top official language.
When I have to tell you, your name already is a winner, man.
Indeed, thank you.
It's absolutely, you know, just somebody named you right, bro, and called you winner. So winner, a big development then today.
It is a very big, you know, development. But first and foremost, let me just start by greeting Mr. Bruno, the National Director of Deaf Services at Deaf Federation of South Africa, and his interpreter, Mr. Francis. Mr. Francis, please, you know, pass my greetings to Mr. Bruno, understanding that he's deaf, with my palm open to the top right corner of my forehead, which is a sign of hello. And also, please, Mr. Francis, once again, fold your two middle fingers and leave only your three fingers, which is your small finger, pointing finger and your thumb, and that is a sign of love dedicated to Mr. Bruno this wonderful evening.
Brilliant.
Yes. Let me start by saying this, Mr. Benzer, actually by acknowledging and giving a big round of applause to the president of this country and his cabinet, having acknowledged, recognized, you know, the sign language becoming, you know, the top official sign language. This automatically nullifies, you know, the Section 6, subsection 1 of 1996, which was only including, you know, the 11 languages. And also, it was well stated by the chief executive of the South African Language Board, Rakwane Munarin, that, you know, this is a positive news, not only to the deaf people, but, you know, to the South Africans at large. Believe me, this has been long overdue.
I'm going to ask Bruno this as well. I mean, it also comes after the Department of Basic Education announced that it will incorporate sign language into, you know, as an option, basically, into the school curriculum. Did that sort of begin to give you the feeling already that we were heading in the right direction?
Before South African Sign Language is an official language, we have South African Sign Language as a cap. As a subject for deaf children,
right,
from JR to grade 12 in all schools of the deaf. That started in 2014. So,
Bruno, explain that. Just explain that. Has it been in schools for the deaf since then, in your general schools, it hasn't been located there.
Yes. It has been indicated that it will be in general schools.
Yes. Yes, now it's been indicated.
Now it's only been indicated for general schools. And this makes me very happy because we've got a high unemployment rate in the deaf community. And I think with the appointment of deaf trainers that can train that subject, it will be marvelous to have that. Because deaf people are the home language users of South African Sign Language. And we believe that they're the only ones that can train it to the hearing communities and to the hearing children.
Here's a question for Bruno again. The South African Sign Language, you have to educate us here and educate me in this regard as well. Is there a differentiation when we say the South African Sign Language? Is there a differentiation with any other sign language that may exist? So my question would be a broad one to ask. Would there be a sign language, particularly in different languages, in different countries, for example, but there would be a South African Sign Language unique to this country? Just if you could... explain that to me in to help me understand that part.
Okay, sure. In South Africa, we've got South African Sign Language because our signs that we use are different from American Sign Language. In American Sign Language is ASL, British Sign Language, Korean Sign Language, and also Uganda Sign Language. So every country has its own signs. But the structure of our language is worldwide the same. So we will use subject, object, verb in our structure. That's just to simplify it. And time is always first. So we will, that's worldwide the same. So for instance, in South Africa, toilet is one sign. You use sign for toilet. And then the same sign that we use for toilet in America means name.
Okay.
So, just to give you an indication.
Winner, this is a question for you, Winner. The kind of technology then that's available, because of how Bruno has just explained different sign languages in different countries, for example, in the United States and then the uniqueness to South Africa, the kind of technology that's available, has that made a huge difference to the communication aspect for deaf people?
Yeah, I would say yes. It does make, you know.
I'm also thinking, Winner, to the extent of cost.
Yeah. Before I could answer to that, I would like just to touch basis on the issue of basic education.
Sure.
That, you know, you see our cabinet, what they have done today Actually, they were just people stepping on the fingerprint, footprint of basic education. Basic education, they have started way back. Remember in 2018, they already started recognizing, sign language as a home language. And also they included that in their curricula.
Yes.
Also, there was, the first, metric examination, which, deaf people written in 2018. And ourselves, as you know, in Sovolino Academy, myself, as you know, the founder and the director of Sovolino Academy, we have taken the giant step to make it a point that, believe me, this was a physical exercise. It wasn't easy. We engaged the basic education way back in 2016, where we met the Dr. Smelani there, in trying to pave a way to see to it how we could actually find each other to implement sign language to be done and to be studied in different level of, schools. So, it wasn't, an easy road. It wasn't an easy thing, actually.
Mm.
So, yes, in terms of the technology, I think, indeed, technology, it came and, it facilitated, the whole process of communication. Because you can see, with those signs, it's easy, it doesn't even, remember, deaf people, they can't communicate.
Yes.
They only use signs. So, they can get involved in the WhatsApp. They can use WhatsApp, they can use TikTok, those things, you only use, the signs. It's easy for them to communicate and pass information and all those kind of things. So, okay. Technology is it's also great assistance in regard, in relation to the sign language communication. And sign language is not a universal language, like Bruno has said. Meaning, what do we mean when we say sign language is not universal? We mean that a person from, Europe, somebody from India or China or any other outside country won't be able to comprehend South African sign language. Hence, we call South African sign language an SASL. So it is very much important, and we would like to see, the United Nations as well. If they could consider this, because, I understand that, within the country now we have broken the barrier. But you can just imagine, what kind of an impact we have in terms of, the deaf people, should they want, to travel overseas and stuff like that. And since we are saying that, the sign language is not universal. So if, that it could be tabled, could be looked at as well, that, it would be also be a great help to deaf people where it's not going to limit, their family and so on.
So Bruno, let me go back to you, Bruno. It's now the amendment bill is being issued for public comment. What's the process now?
The process is now that everybody needs to comment on that bill that hasn't been sent out yet.
Right.
Just the cabinet just approved it. So the minister will give notice to that bill. And as soon as that bill is sent out, everybody has 30 days to comment to that bill.
Right.
So with our discussions with the Department of Justice, they ask us that people can send us the comments as well, and then we will compile a document with everybody's name and their comments, and if there's any changes to that specific clauses.
Mm.
I don't think there will be, but maybe there will be some additions to it. But then, as soon as they receive the comments, they need to go back to Parliament, to the Justice Committee, to finalise the bill. And then, only then, when the bill is approved in Parliament, then that can give an effect for the constitutional amendment. Can you please allow me just to add
yes.
two points that Willard just mentioned on sign language is not a universal language? I'm sitting on the World Federation of the Deaf, and I'm one of the board members. And the board members are currently 8 members, and we're from different countries. And we're all deaf, and once we come into a board meeting, there's an international sign system that has been developed by deaf people over the years, and that you can only acquire when you really travel abroad and you understand your language, your basis of South African sign language first, and then you the science that has been developed that everybody could understand it. So I just came from South Korea. We had a meeting there to prepare for the World Federation of Congress for next year in South Korea. And we were able to communicate with them, but it's really deaf people that really understand it first. It takes a while, and then we find a way to communicate with one another. And then on technology.
Yes.
Technology has really, we've always been advising government on video relay services for the deaf community. So video relay services is when I, as a deaf person, can phone into a center where there's interpreters, where they, like Zoom, and then they will contact the restaurant or the doctor or the police office and just to then interpret. This has been implemented in other countries already, and it's been legislated and everything, but we've always been advising government, and as soon as COVID struck in government, went on MS Teams and Zoom, everybody understood what our needs were. And, yeah, so we're busy with ICASA. That's already been regulated. We've made comments. So the deaf people can have access, can make calls freely to people that they want to talk to and for emergency purposes.
Okay.
And that is why we need South African Signing's official language, because then it will also provide access.
There is a caller who wants to come in and just join the conversation. Hold on for Sandile Mkize. Sandile, you want to make a statement, or you want to ask a question?
No, I've just enjoyed the conversation.
Sure.
You know, especially as the gentleman was pointing out. But it would be more interesting to hear just a little bit more about what he thinks about just general accessibility and, you know, the level of importance that should be placed in front of government.
Wow, brilliant question. Sandile, you're a paraplegic yourself?
Yes, that's correct.
Sandile, your particular interest in this, that with the conversation, is it something you've engaged before or you've bumped into before? Or you just have a feeling that government doesn't move particularly fast on issues that either deal with paraplegics or the blind or the deaf, or is that just a frustration generally? Is it just a question that you just wanted, you know, to be answered?
No, well, I think just in general terms, government is honestly just, it drags its feet and it's very slow in terms of implementing things that, you know, provide equity and access to people that sort of need these things in society. For example, having programs or having a five-step plan doesn't really do much for anybody if the stairs to a place is, you know, blocking them access. If we need ramps, we need ramps. We don't need necessarily conversations about this if it's already been decided. Now, I think the majority of the problems that we tend to have is that there's just too much bureaucracy, number one, in implementing change that needs to happen, especially for marginalized communities. And unfortunately, marginalized communities are not the ones put in charge of implementing these changes. It's always individuals who, to put it bluntly, are part of a bureaucratic system where, unfortunately, they just don't know what they're doing. I mean, how many times have we driven on roads and we've seen sort of bus stops, for example, that have ramps? But anybody who's actually a wheelchair user will tell you that these ramps are unusable because they're something ridiculous like 45 degrees to 50 degrees. If I had to try to use that, I would fall over. So I'm not necessarily sure where one can go to hold these people accountable or to even start this sort of change. However, I'm not going to mix my words when I say, you know, you can't do this work without the actual community involved because you'll end up making silly mistakes and problems will not be solved adequately.
Sandile, I've brought you into the conversation because obviously you're my next guest, but obviously there's a link between this and you know, the conversation we're having at the moment. So I'm going to go back to Bruno. Bruno, Sandile has made various, he's asked a particular question and he's made various statements as well. Your response to that?
I agree with my brother. I'm telling you that it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science to figure things out. And just for an example, what with the video relay services that I mentioned, it is people, and when we mentioned this to ICASA, they had to do a study tour, they went to America. Why do they have to go? Because we brought them the information, we gave them the information. So I feel that, and then they had to consult with the service providers, like MTN, Vodacom, and so forth. So they had to consult with them. The service providers don't want to come down with their costs in terms of video calls, because it's expensive for these people to make video calls if they don't have Wi-Fi or fiber. So it makes it very difficult, because everybody else has access. Why can't we have access? So I understand his point, and I share his views that it takes a very long time for people just to wrap their heads around it and then eventually to understand it. And then there's new persons in the department and government that will start the process all over.
Okay, so I'm going to leave the conversation there. Bruno, I'm going to say thank you so much for coming on tonight and, you know, engaging the topic. Winner, thank you so much as well for talking to us tonight. And Francois, for, you know, the wonderful job you're doing, Francois, engaging us as you did. I mean, the technology that we obviously have that enables us to have this kind of conversation through the technology that exists, and through someone like yourself. So I have to say thank you so much. And let's not have the last conversation, because obviously the bill now is for public comment. It will be out there. And of course, people will do that in the next few days. And then there are various processes for it. And then let's see it to the end. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.